all things new. Jesus makes all things new. Hallelujah. You know, you can radically change the circumstances of your life. Just because things have been a certain way for so long, they don't have to stay that same way for the rest of your life. Matter of fact, they don't have to stay that same way for any length of time. You can radically change. Let me rephrase that. God can radically change the circumstances of your life. It still happens. We don't have to stay the same. He can completely turn the circumstances of your life around. Completely. He can completely turn the circumstances of your life around. Not just a slight change. Not just things getting a little better. No, I mean a complete radical change when you don't even recognize where you've been or where you've come from. A change. You know, Brother Hinton used to sing, still does, sing a song. There's been a change in me. He's rearranging me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. There's been a change in me. Hallelujah. I mean a Saul to Paul experience. I mean a Saul to Paul. I'm talking about a madman of Gadara experience where he was bound by change. Fetters couldn't hold him. No man could tame him. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And it freaked everybody out. The Bible says everybody was afraid to go over there because the change was so dramatic. I'm telling you, he's still doing that today. I said, he's still doing that today. Shikarabasa. He's still doing that today. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. Revelation 21, 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Let me read it again. Revelation 21, 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, makes all things new. Brand new. I said brand new. I tried to find it, but I didn't find it. There was a picture that we used to have phones that hung on the wall. We used to have landlines, house phones, for those that don't remember that. You remember that? Amen. And before I was born again, Lori, in her grace and mercy, did actually let me open the door and let me in the house from time to time. That's where I saw that Bible. You know, the first time Lori invited me in, when I asked her out on a date one time, and the first time she invited me into the house, and she said, come on in for a moment, and there was a Bible on her dining room table. And I was a heathen. I mean, I didn't know the ark was in the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible. And she had a Bible on her dining room table, and it was actually open. It was actually open. She had been reading it, and it made such a huge impact on me. It was like, you actually have a Bible, and it's open, and you read it? I mean, we never opened the Bible in our home, Jeannie. No. And, I mean, we went to church, but, I mean, we didn't open the Bible. We had the, you know, whoever was supposed to open that book, he opened it, and read a few words and closed it. But she had a Bible. Well, anyway, so every now and then at lunch, I sold real estate, and we, before basically cell phones and when we had landlines, and she and I would go over to her house sometimes, and she would make me lunch, and we would talk. And I would sit there and make phone calls for my real estate business in her kitchen. And she had one of the phones that hung on the wall, long cord, and I'm sitting there. And right by the phone, she had this picture. And it had a bright yellow frame, and it was a real long picture, and it was of a butterfly. And this butterfly was sitting there, and it had words on it, and it said, "See, I make all things new." And then it had this Roman numeral writing and stuff, which was Revelation 21:5. And I would sit there for an hour or two and make phone calls, but my eyes were fixed on those words. "See, I make all things new. See, I make all things new. See, I make all things new." And I would do that for days, for several hours a day, and I'd just be looking at that, and that would be coming into my spirit, my dead spirit at the time, because I was a heathen, but that Word of God, the Word of God has no bounds. I said, the Word of God is not bound, ladies and gentlemen. And I would keep, reading that and reading that. And you know, the Bible says a lot about meditation. It was like a moment ago when we were sitting here quietly in the presence of God. That's the thing, Pastor Bob Nichols, when I've gone with Pastor to ministers' conferences and things, he says that's the number one thing, his challenge, is to get his spirit quiet before the Lord where he can hear from the Lord. That's his number one challenge. And I it's mine now too. And that's why I get up so early in the morning before the texts and before the cell phone rings and before the emails and before the stuff, you know, life, daily life, before it starts happening. And so I'm sitting there and I'm reading that for hours and day after day and after day. You know, the Word of God will produce a harvest. I said the Word of God will produce a harvest because I kept reading that and seeing that and reading it and meditating on it. And then when I would leave, I could see it, and it said, "See, I make all things new." And the only gospel preacher I'd ever listened to would be Jimmy Swaggart every now and then, and I'd hear Janet Pasquill sing, "Here am I, so unworthy of the blood, unworthy of the blood that set me free." And then Jimmy Swaggart would sing, "He grew the tree so that I might go free." Praise God. Oh. Oh. His word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which he sent it to do. It will produce a harvest. It will grow up and become greater. It was the seed that was planted. And so when I was born again, man, it was like, boom, everything became brand new. Everything became brand new, and I knew it. But in actual fact, when any of us are born again, we become brand new, ladies and gentlemen. It's brand new. God's word produces life. Even his very word is life. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick." Or in other words, it's alive. It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Words from Scripture contain power. And those words are eternal seeds that get sown in our hearts. Scripture, the words from the Word are eternal seeds. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this Word's never going to pass away, ladies and gentlemen. And when we meditate on this Word, When we see the Word in front of our eyes all the time and hear it, when we meditate on the Word of God, I'm telling you, it will convert our soul. It will convert your soul. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord," or the Word of God, "is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So the Word of God, when it's applied to our life, it turns our life around. It changes us. It changes us beginning on the inside. It turns our life around from what is displeasing to God to all of a sudden what is pleasing to God. Hallelujah. It makes us brand new. Jesus said, "I make all things new." And we're changed not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, from the Word of God that lives and abides forever. So Jesus makes us brand new, and it starts on the inside. And the first thing he does, I'm telling you, everything changes and it's all new. Jesus makes us a new creation. The first thing he does is he makes us a new creation. And we say that fast. Let me just give the scripture reference, though. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, and all things," first part of verse 18, "and all things are of God." And that new creature, ladies and gentlemen, he just doesn't remake us. He doesn't just remodel the house. I'm telling you, he builds a brand new mansion. That new creature means it's an original formation. It's something, ladies and gentlemen, that never existed before. You are born again. It's brand new. It didn't exist the moment before you didn't have Jesus in your life. But once you ask Jesus into your life, your heart becomes brand new. You become a brand new creature. In the spirit world, you are brand new. Prior to salvation, before you're born again, you have a dead spirit. It's dead. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." You don't know you're dead because you're dead. I mean, when you're dead, you don't know it. You know you're hunting for something, but you don't know exactly what it is. You know there's a hole in your heart. You don't know quite how to fill it. But you don't know you're dead, but you're dead, according to the Bible, before you were born again. You were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but oh my. He makes us alive in Christ Jesus. When you are born again, you receive the very life and nature of God. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a new creature, brand new. That person becomes alive. You're a new creature. Hallelujah. At salvation, a total change takes place on the inside. A total change takes place on the inside. Not in the flesh, not in our soulish realm, not in our mind, our will, our emotions, but in the spirit, man, a total change takes place. Your spirit becomes brand new. It's born again. You're born again. He doesn't just throw a coat of paint on the house, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't even just start to remodel it either. He doesn't just say, "Well, I'll put a coat of paint on it and some new carpet. That'll make it look good." No. And he doesn't just remodel the bathroom or remodel the kitchen. I'm telling you, he scrapes the old house down and he builds you a brand new house. You are born again. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus, something that never existed before. Well, give him praise if you're going to do it. Hallelujah. New in every respect, Brother John. New in every respect. Something that is not used, Hallelujah. It's fresh. It's not worn. It's never been lived in before. It's unprecedented. It's uncommon. You're a new creature. Listen to some of how the Apostle Paul describes the new creature. The new birth, the new creation, his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, newness of life, a spiritual quickening, a spiritual resurrection, a new heart and a new spirit, putting on of the new man, the inward man of the heart, the circumcised heart, the divine nature. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, salvation is a life-transforming situation. It's a life-transforming experience. It brings everlasting change. These are some of the truths that changed my life. I mean, when you know that you're born again, when you know that you know that you know that you've been translated from death unto life. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. When you know that, you know, we've said it before in the announcements in the sanctuary, 98 to 99 of 100 doors knocked, people do not know why they are born again, if they are. They don't know. And they always give, you know, a list of certain things. They're a good person, and it's good to be a good person. And they don't cheat, and they don't steal, and they don't go with those that do, I guess. I don't know. But all that's good, but none of that will save you. New creation. It brings everlasting change. A new creation, it brings everlasting change. Change is one of the distinguishing characteristics of us, of true believers, of those that are born again. And it takes place in our spirit first. It takes place in our spirit. And listen, that change is total and it's complete. That change that takes place in our spirit is total and it's complete. Then we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Then our minds are renewed with the Word of God. Then the change that's already taken place in our heart, in our spirit, begins to flow outward, is reflected outward in what we say and how we act and how we behave. It's proportional to how we present our bodies and how we renew our mind. But ladies and gentlemen, when you ask Jesus into your heart by faith sincerely and you're born again, you are a brand new creature. Brand new. Brand new. Your spirit is instantly changed at salvation. You go from death to life. Your spiritual salvation is complete. Is complete. You're brand new, whether you feel like it or not. You are brand new. You receive the same spirit that you will have throughout all eternity. It's in there. It's sealed by the Holy Ghost. I said it's sealed by the Holy Ghost. You're changed. And don't let the devil tell you, well, I didn't feel changed. And well, that it doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what you feel. The Word of God is true and you are changed. You are a child of God. You're on your way to heaven. All your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. If you are born again, you are brand new and you have the power of God to help you win at life. The power is there. Jesus makes you a new creation, an original formation, something that never existed before. Hallelujah. He makes you a new creation. Jesus makes all things new. Amen. And let me give you a second one that he does. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, Wow, turned right to it. Praise God. That's page 881 in my Bible. Ezekiel 36, beginning with verse 26. I'm going to read three verses through 29. Ezekiel 36, 26. A new heart also will I give you. A new heart. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. He's saying your heart will be changed. God will give you a new heart and a new desire to know Him and to serve Him. You know, before I was born again, I tried to read the Bible. Anybody ever try that before you were born again? Did it make much sense? No. You know, spiritual things are discerned spiritually by a born-again spirit, according to 1 Corinthians. And so when you're, before you're born again and you try to read the Bible, it's like, it never made any sense to me. But when you are born again, Jesus comes to live on the inside of you, in your heart, through His precious Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit, which in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new heart. The risen Christ is actually living through us. He's living through us. Some people saying, I know what they mean. Well, I'm living for the Lord. Well, that's good, but actually, the Lord is living through us. I said, the Lord is living through us. You know, pastor's been ministering lately, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's Christ living through us, ladies and gentlemen. It's a new heart. Hallelujah. A new creation and a new heart. The risen Christ is actually living through you. God is on the inside of you and He is living through you. Man, there's so many scripture references regarding that. I mean, I will put my spirit within you, even the spirit of truth. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you, and you and me, and I and you, I and them. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abides in us by the Spirit which He has given us. Jesus gives you a new heart. He's given you, He makes you a new creation, and He's given you a new heart. He makes all things new. Glory to God. Let me give you a third one. Jesus gives us a new and a living way to approach God. Jesus gives us a new and a living way that we may approach God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. This new way to approach God makes the old way, which was keeping the law, invalid. The new way is a living way versus the old way, which was living by the law, but it really wasn't living, it was death. We no longer relate, ladies and gentlemen, to God by keeping the law. That produced death. We approach God through this new and living way that we experience the abundant life that only Jesus can give us. Until Jesus died and his flesh was torn, there was a separation between God and man because of sin, and it was strictly enforced. Man could not, just any man could not approach God. But when Jesus' flesh was crucified, the veil was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Remember that? Providing us access to God through a new way that was entirely different than under the old covenant. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. We can now come boldly because Jesus provided a new and a living way to approach God. We can now come to God and fellowship with him and commune with him and say, Abba, Father, Daddy, our very own Father. He's a good, good Father. I'm telling you, he's a good, good Father, ladies and gentlemen. And we have a new and a living way to approach him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, Jesus makes all things new. He makes all things new. And here's really one of my favorites. Jesus gives us a new covenant. He makes all things new, and he's given us a new covenant. I'm going to read two portions of Scripture. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31:31. Listen to this about the new covenant. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I had with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Oh, a new covenant. He doesn't hold our sins against us. He doesn't even remember them. When God forgives, God forgets. Your sins are as far as the east is from the west. Your sins are behind his back, never to be brought up against you again. Somebody ought to shout, Hallelujah! Let me give you the New Testament reference to that. Hebrews 8:7. The new covenant. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. Aren't you thankful that you want to serve God now? You know, once you're born again and he puts that in your heart and your mind, and you actually want to serve God, it compels you to serve God. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. He's made a new covenant, ladies and gentlemen, and we can't mess it up because it's with God the Father and God the Son. It had nothing to do with us. We just come by faith and receive it, and we get all the benefits. I said we get all the benefits. The inheritance is ours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh. Shikarabasa. Well, I'm going to read another scripture out of Hebrews. Hebrews 10, 16, and 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's made a new covenant, ladies and gentlemen. He makes all things new. He makes all things new. I mean, it's amazing to go through the Bible, and he makes all things new. Not some things, not a few things. He makes all things new. We're a new creation, something that never existed before. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new way to approach him. Hallelujah. He gives us a new covenant. Hallelujah. We're complete in him, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. Now, here's one that is, he gives us a new commandment. He gave us a new commandment. You know what that is? That we are to love one another. Hallelujah. A new commandment do I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. What a commandment. To love others as Christ loved us. Wow. You can't do this on your own. That's why you've got to have the Spirit of God. That's why you've got to have the Spirit of God to help you, to lead you, to guide you. It's not something you can do on your own. This is a command. This isn't a command about loving God. This is a command about loving each other, all of us. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, we are to love others as I have loved you. That's a new commandment. We really cannot do this on our own. We have to receive this love from God, and then we can give it out. Hallelujah. And you receive that when you're born again. You know, when you're born again, you have all, the Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of your heart. You've got the love of God. It's residing there. The joy, the peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. The fruit of the Spirit actually is on the inside of us. We're not trying to get that faith and love and joy. We're not out there trying to get it. No, we're drawing on what's already in our spirits. It's already there. God lives on the inside of us, ladies and gentlemen. We're new creatures. He's given us a new heart. He lives on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus loved us more than he loved himself, really. He gave himself for us. Think of that. That's how we're to love one another. Okay. No, that one's... I'll give you one or two more. Two more. One more. Jesus gave us a new language. Hallelujah. Mark 16:17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Shibarabasa karabasa. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Speaking in tongues is unique to the church age. That's why it didn't happen before, because the Holy Ghost, it's subsequent to being born again. The Holy Ghost, it draws it out. It's the Holy Spirit of God speaking through us. Hallelujah. And so it's a New Testament, it's unique to the church age. He gave us new tongues. Hallelujah. He gave us a new language. He makes all things new. And Jesus gave us new doctrine. He gave us new doctrine, ladies and gentlemen. Mark 1:27, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they question among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Ladies and gentlemen, you have authority from Almighty God. It's a new doctrine of the New Testament, and you can use and speak the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, and with authority command that devil to get out of your life, to get out of your family, to get out of your business. A new doctrine. Authority. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus makes all things new. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that he makes all things new? Hallelujah. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. I pray the word of God is sealed in our hearts tonight. I thank you, Father, that you have made us new creations. God, I thank you that you've given us a new heart. I thank you that you've given us a new covenant. You've given us a new commandment, a new doctrine. And God, you've given us a new language. And Father, we thank you that we are well able to take the land. We are well able to take our city. We are well able, oh God, you have given us authority, that new doctrine, to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make a difference in our generation. And we give you glory, honor, and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Somebody give God praise in the house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He makes all things new. Hallelujah.